Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf Mabim Sias Nun Tef. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. We're starting today on the bottom of Nun Chesam Adveiz. Today's Daf, perhaps one of the most popular stories told in the Gemara, and you'll see as we're learning the Daf Yomi how it relates to today's Daf and why it was introduced into today. We are talking about Onas Devarim. The Mishnah told us yesterday in Nun Chesam Adveiz that Kishem Shenoa Sheona B'Mekach U'Memkar Kach Ona B'Devarim. Just like you have an Isser in the Torah of Ona B'Mekach, so most of the Perek dedicated to the topic of Onas Mamon, so that I'm not allowed to overcharge for an item, and there is an Isser in the Torah that protects the buyer, that actually protects the seller as well, which we discussed earlier. So just like I'm not allowed to exploit others financially, I'm also not allowed to exploit people verbally as well. You're not allowed to verbally abuse anybody, taunt anybody. It is an issur in the Torah to do so. Yesterday, the Gemara quoted the Pesukim. It's actually from the same Parsha. It's Parshas Bahar. Same Parsha that talks about Onas Mamon. So the Gemara extracts from there also that there's an issur of Onas Devarim as well. We are in the Gemara. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Contrasting the issur of Ona'a to the Isser of Onas Mamon to the Isser of Onas Devarim. Amar of Yochanan. We are on Nun Ches Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Mayoche, Gadol Onas Devarim, Onas Mamon. So Ona'as Devarim is greater. Greater meaning more severe, more, it's more serious than that of Onas Mamon. Why? She said, Ne'amar above Yoris Melkecha, Vizen lo Ne'amar above Yoris Melkecha. Although they're both lavim in the Torah, and it's not exactly our place to compare one lav to another lav in the Torah, but the Gemara notes, however, that you have by the lav of Onas Mamon, you don't have the statement of Yireis Melechecha that you have to fear Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meanwhile, by Onas Dvarim, when it comes to verbal abuse, so the Torah says that there is the words by Yireis Melechecha. We learned yesterday that Yireis Melechecha has to do with the fact that when you do Onas Dvarim, sometimes the person on the receiving end doesn't even know whether or not you're trying to take advantage or you're not trying to take advantage. For example, like we said in yesterday's daf, you're shopping and you're not really interested in buying the item. You're just simply, whatever, satisfying a curiosity, but a curiosity that really has no purpose, no point. So the Yireis Melkecha tells you that Akash Baruch Hu knows that right now you're not really interested in buying the item and all you're doing is just basically playing with the man. Another basic distinction between Onas Dvarim and Onas Mamon is that when it comes to Onas Dvarim, so you're affecting the person himself, meaning you are saying mean things about that person, and that's Shebeguf. Masha'inke Mamon, it's money. People are attached to their money, but still, there's a basic difference. Rabbi, it's only money. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Zenitan Li Shavon, Vezolonitan Li Shavon. Another basic difference is that when you abuse somebody financially, so you can always give them back the money. So in other words, you charge too much, so you could just simply give back the difference. Masha enkei onas dvarim, you can't take it back. There's no way to take it back. You can apologize. The apology, I'm sure, will be very well received, but ultimately, it was said, and it's something, and things you cannot take back. Tanitana comes to Rav Nachman Yitzchak. The following brisa was taught in front of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Klamav bnei chaver barabim, kilo shofech damim. So anyone who publicly embarrasses another is like he committed murder. So now you know how this always works because every single time you have a b'risa set over in front of an amora and looking for a comment from the amora about the b'risa. So Amalei Shabbi Kamart. So here he says the b'risa is absolutely on the ball, absolutely correct that when you publicly embarrass somebody, so you are like committing murder. Dechazinalei dazo simka vase chivra. And in fact, you can see it anatomically, physiologically, that what happens is that first it's red and then afterwards it is white, meaning we're talking about his complexion. And so you see that the blood runs away from his face. So basically that's an act of ritzicha, it's murder. In other words, murder is extracting blood from a person. So when you publicly embarrass somebody, so the blood runs away, he's white, and that's why it's called, by the way, parenthetically, I'm sure you figured this out already, that's why it's called kol hamalbim p'nei chaver barabim, meaning the word malbim means you're whitening him, meaning why are you whitening him? Based on the physiology. Now Tosus is bothered by the fact that, generally speaking, when you see somebody embarrassed, he gets red, not white. So Tosus points that out. Small Tosus on the Amud, Azul Simka Vasechivra. So Tosus writes, Umasha Ma'adim Betchila Lefisha Adamim Mit Asfim Levroach. So Tosus says that anatomically what happens is that the blood rushes to the face, but only rushes there in order so that it would leave. It's almost like a stop on the train, where eventually the blood wants to run away, but the blood first gathers and then it runs away. That's so. What the Gemara is telling us is really step two of the process of embarrassment. Anyway, the Gemara describes it in very serious terms. It's domal ritzicha. It's like murder. Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi b'marava b'maizihiri. Abaye asks Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi is our frequent flyer travel. He always goes back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So Abaye wants to know, what are the Nihugim in Eretz Yisrael? What are people doing in it? And what are people being careful about in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, you know what we're very careful about? It's a big hakpada here in Eretz Yisrael that people do not embarrass one another. The Amr Rabbi Chanina called Yordan LeGehenim Chutz Mishlosha. So everyone goes down to Gehenim with exception to three. Hakol. So the Gemara says, well, that statement in of itself isn't that pleasant. What do you mean everybody goes down to Gehenim? So Hakol Sakadach Elayim Hakol Yordan Gehenim Va'olin. So the Gemara says, no, what really was meant by the Bryce says that everyone's going to go down to Gehenim and everyone's going to come up from Gehenim Chutz Mishlosha, with exception to three, Sheyordan Vein Olin, but three of them are going to go down and they're not going to come up. Ve'eluhen, and they are Habal Eshetish, someone who commits adultery, Amab Menei Chaver Barabim, someone who publicly embarrasses another, Avamechan Hashem Ral Chavero, and somebody who gives a nickname to his friend. So the Gemara says now category 2, category 3 are the same thing. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. It's one and the same thing. So the Gemara says, no, there's an additional Chiddush. And the additional Chiddush is that let's say he's a person's called by a pejorative nickname. It's derogatory. But he's used to it. In other words, it's what everyone calls him. And you call him that name. So the Gemara says, that's the extra Chiddush at the end of the Braisa. Is that despite the fact that he's used to it and he doesn't seem to flinch and he doesn't seem to mind, nevertheless, because you called him that name, so therefore you're going to be subject to this very serious brisa of go down to Gehenim and you're not going to come up. A couple points over here. First of all, Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, Rashi writes the Dash Bay, Kvar Hurgo Bekach, Shemechanim Oso Kain, Ve'ena Panav Mislavnos. So Rashi writes that he's so used to it that you say this name to him and he doesn't flinch. Rashi says, but nevertheless, the person on the giving end of the person who's calling him that name, so his intention is to embarrass him by calling him this derogatory nickname, and Rashi says, and that's enough. So what's pretty clear from this Rashi is that it's not so much the receiver. The receiver, meaning even if he's not effectively embarrassed, if the giver, if the ma'ana, if the one who is taunting, if his intention is to embarrass, so Rashi seemingly says that's enough. In other words, that's enough in order for it to be considered onas devarim. That's point number one. Point number two, which I'll just touch on, Tosus over here discusses the Gemara's very, very strong terminology of you go down to Gehenim and you'll never come up. That's so the simple pshat of the Gemara if you involve yourself in these activities. Right? Eishas ish, certainly understand, but onas devarim, right? Ma'ab m'nei chaveh barabim, although the Gemara just said it's like Shvichas Damim, so basically now you have two of the big three, right? You have you have now Arayus and you have Shvichas Damim, but still though, in other words, it's hard to imagine that we're really using such strong language. Tosfos says Ein Lafarsh Dein Olam LaOlam, so Tosfos says if we're not going to say that they're never coming up from Gehenim, the Hamrin and Besamach Abalei Shetish Yesh Lachelak Olam Haba Ela Hachi Perush Kol Yarden Olin Miyad VeEin Or Shol Gehenim Sholet Behem Kedamina BePerikos and Pasin Kavachom and Mizbech Hazav UvePerik Pasu DeChagiga. So I'm sorry, Tosfos goes on Aval. But basically, I'm just summarizing. Basically, Tosfos says that the Gemara's point is that most people are going to go down to Gehenna but immediately come up. But these people are going to be spending some time there. But not to say the pshat is in the Gemara that they're never going to come up. Okay. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan. We are now on the top of Nun Tesamad Aleph. No Chol Adam Shiavol Safikeshes Ishva Al Yabim Pnei Chaver Barabim. So better for a person. Meaning these are really the choices of two unpleasantries. So it's not like the Gemara is condoning either one. That's an obvious point, but I'll say it anyway. So No Chol Adam Shiavol Safikeshes Ish. Better for a person to be involved in questionable Eshes Ish. Rather Al Yabim Pnei Chaver Barabim, but don't embarrass somebody publicly. Minale. Now the Gemara says now in terms of this equation and the terms of preferring suffocation ish over being embarrassing somebody publicly. So the Gemara says, "Midadarsh Rava, the Darsh Rava." So you can see it based on the following drasha. My dichsiv, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim of Itzalmi, Simchu, Vinasfu, Karuva lo damu. So the pasuk in Tehillim says that look, they people rejoiced, people tore at me, people clawed at me. This is David HaMelech talking about basically his critics. Velo damu, and but meanwhile there was no blood. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to give a drash. So Amar Davul of Nechash Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom Galuvi Yadul of Nechash Im Hayu Mekarim Besari Lo Hayu Dami Shoseis La Aretz. So this is David's petition, his tefillah to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You know that I can have my enemies tear at me, claw at me, actually create cuts in my body, and I would not bleed. So the would not bleed, as you'll see in just a moment. This idea of I would not bleed is basically because I've bled out already. In other words, I no longer have any blood, and the government's going to explain. So, and not only that, but I was involved in the learning. I'm learning difficult masechtas, negayim and olos. We in the Daf Yomi don't learn these masechtas. These are found, these are tucked away in Taharas. There's no Gemara on them. We should be learning them, but it's not in the Daf Yomi cycle. So, Omrim lo, David, Habal, Eshesish, Misasa, Bema. So, but meanwhile, what do my critics do? So, I'm learning negayim, I'm learning olos, and they ask me an unrelated question. They're not asking me an unrelated question. They're really just poking fun at me. They're prodding me. And they're saying, David HaMelech, if a person is involved in Eshesish, so how's that person going to die? So David HaMelech says, okay, Eshesish. So we know the halacha is that a person's involved in Eshesish, so it's a capital crime, capital punishment, and the Misa, the execution that's done is Chenek. That's easy. But David HaMelech says, but you know, that person gets a portion of the world to come. But contrast that to someone who's trying to publicly embarrass another person, which David HaMelech is saying to them, that's what you're doing to me right now. So ain't lo chelik olam haba, you don't get any chelik in the olam haba. So the Gemara says, from here, you're basically, again, it's a choice between two unpleasantries, two things nobody should be involved in, but given the choice, it's worse to be mab nechaver rather than to be involved in eishes ish. The Gemara above said that the Gemara actually, if you contrast with the way the Gemara presented it versus the way that we actually saw the drasha. Previously, the Gemara said suffic eishesish. Here, the question that was asked him was eishesish itself. If you take a look at Rashi over here, this is another bigger discussion. I'll just touch on it. So Rashi writes, "Kedarash Rava detova ma'aser shel David ba'sheva misha lahem." The action of David and Bathsheba was better, again, relatively speaking, better to what they were doing. They were publicly embarrassing. Meanwhile, David and Bathsheba were only involved in Safek Eshedish. Rashi goes on to explain why we're calling this Safek. Safek Amenashim Yamos, sorry, so I skipped a line. Safek Eshedish, Ishi Yotel Melchamos Beis David, get Krisus Kosev Ishto. Amenashim Yamos Shetei Megureshes Me'achshav. So, Rashi tells us that what the practice was is that prior to going to war, so what the husbands would do with for their wives, that they would write a get with the condition, stipulation that if I don't come back, so the get should be enforced retroactive to the time that I wrote it. Now it has to be retroactive because we know in get lachem misa there is no get after you die, so it has to be retroactive to the time it was written. Veloti zakak liyavam, and the purpose of doing so is so that the widow doesn't turn out to be a widow, but rather divorcee, and that would help her so that she would not have to be forced to marry her brother-in-law. V'chol osam miyamim hu safik megureshes. Now, we go from the time that the get was written to the time of death. Now, during that duration, so we don't know if she is a married woman or a not married woman. It really will depend if the husband died, which would then enact the get retroactive to the time of writing. So, going from the time of writing to the time of death, going forward, so that's obviously a point of suffix. So, imeis migreshes mitchila v'imlo meis lo niskar shah. And David had bia with Bathsheba during that period of time. That's why it was called, says Rashi, Safek Eshesish. Which then, if you follow Rashi's logic, then ultimately turned out to be not Eshesish at all. But in other words, but that's going backwards. But going forwards, it was Safek Eshesish. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. We are on Testament Aleph, about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. So Amar Marzucha Bar Tovia Amar Rav Amrila Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasid of Amrila Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Nochol Adam Shipol Atzmel Shiyapil Atzmel Lekiv Shana Eish Val Yabim Pnei Chaver Barabim. Better that a person should throw himself into a fire rather than publicly embarrass himself. Minale Mi Tamar. And the Gemara says, and I know this from the story of Tamar Dichziv Parshas Vayeshev He Mutzas Vehishacha El Chameha. So without going through all the details of Perek Lamed Ches in Breishis, so basically comes to a point where, I'm skipping basically the entire story, look it up if you need a review. So she goes to Yehuda and she says, do you recognize these items that were given to me? Meaning at the time Yehuda didn't know it was her, Yehuda thought it was just simply a zona and it was given to her, and she presented them in front of her father-in-law. And with the understanding that she wasn't going to admit that she was a zona, and she, if Yehuda wanted to admit it, that's fine, and otherwise, she would be burnt. So Amar Rav China Bereder of Edi, sorry, before I go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara over here says that it is better to kill yourself rather than to publicly embarrass yourself. So Tosfos, not here, Tosfos in Tosfos and Sota. So Tosfos and Sota asks a very simple question. It's not one of the big three. It's not one of the Gimel Chamurot. So in other words, you're only allowed to give up your life for Shvichas Damim Gila Arayis Avodah Zarah. So over here, we're talking about public embarrassing stuff. You're not allowed to give up your life for that. So Tosfos says, so how does that work? Meaning, how can a person give up their life rather than publicly embarrass himself? So Tamar was ready to do that, but Tosfos over there says, but it's not one of the big three. So Tosfos and Sota, it's Daf Yud. Okay, I'm pretty sure. So Tosfos and Sota over there says that the list of three, it's a very interesting answer. I've heard cheer on Tosfos' answer. So the Tosfos says that the only three that are recorded in the Torah are Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But when it comes to Mabim Pnei Chaver Barabim, so Tosfos says, no, Tosfos doesn't say that. No, that's going to be my next point. So Tosfos over there says it's Einu Mufreshes B'Torah. It's just simply not written in the Torah. Meaning, so there actually are more Isurim out there that you're supposed to give up your life for, but the Gimel Chamurim are just simply the ones that are mentioned in the Torah. But it's Einu Mufreshes B'Torah, Tosfos says over there. It's just simply not written in the Torah, but you have to give up your life for it. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in his parish to Pirkei Avos, because in Pirkei Avos, in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, there's a Mishnah also talking about Mabim Pnei Chaveiro. So Rabbeinu Yonah over there writes, bothered by the same question, how can you give up your life for publicly embarrassing somebody? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, more fundamentally, more categorically, what do you mean? Just go back to the beginning of the Gemara that we did this morning. I mean, the Gemara says that when you embarrass somebody publicly, it is Shvichas Damim. It's like Shvichas Damim. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's not just a cute metaphor. It's real. Meaning, we're categorically putting it under the category of Shvichas Damim. So you're not allowed to commit Shvichas Damim, and you're supposed to give up your life rather than commit Shvichas Damim. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, same thing over here. He calls it, again, I don't have the Rabbeinu Yonah in front of me. I'm doing this al peh, and that's not good. But he calls it like an avizrayu, like it's like a subcategory of shvichas damim. So the so that's the another way to resolve the issue of how can you give up your life rather than publicly embarrassing somebody. Amar Rav Chinna Bereid Rav Edi my dichsiv lo sonu ish is amito. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk regarding ona im she'atcha b'torah. I'm sorry. Am she'itcha b'torah uvemitzvos al taneim. Somebody's together with you with Torah mitzvah, so you're not allowed to verbally abuse that person. Simple pshat in the Gemara is that if it's somebody who is not involved in Torah, somebody who is not am she'itcha, so it sounds like, again, the simple pshat in the Gemara is you are allowed to taunt and abuse. That's the simple pshat. There's more to talk about, but I'll leave it off as a simple pshat. Amar Rav Lo Olam Yehadam Zahir Baonas Ishto. Gemara says that those who are closest to us are the ones who are most susceptible to onas dvarim, and the Gemara says, be careful. Be careful about onas ishto. Make sure not to say anything to your wife that would be hurtful. And shemitoch shedimasa metsuya onas akrova. She is demasa metsuya. She is sensitive. So you have to have a certain sensitivity to her. And it's very easy to provoke her and to taunt her by saying a couple of words. So therefore the Gemara says that you have to be even more careful about onas dvarim when it comes to your wife. Now, when at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Shari Tfila were locked up. So the Pasuk in Eicha says that I'm going to cry out, I'm going to scream, I'm going to daven, but it's closed, meaning it's not going to help. Now, Shari Tfila are closed, but Shari Damas are not closed. So you cry and you petition the Kadosh Baruch Hu with tears, so that the Kadosh Baruch Hu hears. Shenemar, Shema Tfila Si, Hashem Vishavasi, Hazina, El Dimasi, Al Techarash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not silent when a person cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'amarav kol ha'olech ba'atzas ishto nofel be'gehenim. Anyone who listens to the counsel and advice of his wife falls to Gehenim. We had the tzchus of having Rav Shechter here just a couple Shabbosim ago. He was talking about Shalom Bayis and things that a husband needs to do for his wife in order to make sure that there's more Shalom Bayis. So he didn't quote this Gemara. So the which I totally understand. So the but anyone who follows the counsel and advice of his wife is going to go to Gehenim. Shenema rak lo ayah ka'achav v'chulei. And the Gemara quotes Achav listened to Yizevel. Achav should not listen to Yizevel. Had he not listened to Yizevel, life would have been fine. But he listened to Yizevel, and that wasn't good. So Amar le Rav Papa Labai v'hamrin she'itet chagutza gachin v'tal chushla. So the Gemara says the statement made. That the people say, in other words, a popular expression, and that is that if your wife is short, so you should bend down in order to speak to her and in order to listen to her. So it sounds like you should be listening to the advice of your wife. And certainly that's what people say. So that, and by the way, when the Gemara says people say, meaning it's an adage, it's an expression that is understood, it's accepted, it's wisdom. In other words, it's old wisdom. So the Gemara says Lokasha haben mila d'ama haben mila d'besa. So the Gemara gives a couple of ways to resolve the discrepancy of whether you should or should not be listening to your wife's advice. So the first way the Gemara says that is that if it has something to do with the house, so then under no certain circumstance should you be dictating what's going on in the house. The wife should be dictating what's going on in the house, and anything she says, that's the advice you should take counsel for. But mila d'alma, but things that are not related to the house, so that's something that you should not be taking advice. That's one way to say it. Lishna achrina, the Gemara says another way to say it is habe mila d'shmaya v'habe mila d'alma. So the Gemara says if it's mila d'shmaya, if it's, we'll say right now, spiritual matters, so that's something you should not be listening to. But if it's mila d'alma, but outside of the realm of spiritual matters, so then that's something that you should be listening to. So the if you're a very spiritual person, so what exists outside of the realm of spiritual matters? But the Gemara clearly understands that mila d'shmaya are things that are connected to Torah. So men are learning. Men know Torah. So when it comes to mila d'shmaya, so the men should be not taking advice, but mila d'alma. But in general, they should. So all the gates are going to be locked except for the gates of Ona'a, meaning that when a person is abused, verbally abused, he's taunted, so that creates a direct line between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds very quickly. Shenemar, Hinei Hashem Nitzav El Chamas Anach Uviyadcha Anach. The Anach is a plumb line. In other words, back in the good old days when they wanted to know what the direct line is to go down, so they put a weight on the bottom of a string, and you would now know, see, it's an old-fashioned level, and now you would know exactly what's the direct line down. So basically, the Pasuk in Amos is describing this direct connection between the one who's mit'aneh, the one who was abused, verbally abused, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Elazar, kol nifra bidei shliach chutz me'ona'a. A similar idea, the Gemara says, everyone is going to be affected by a shliach, a Kadosh Baruch Hu sent shlichim in order to get to that person, with exception to Ona'a Shenemar V'yado Anach. Kadosh Baruch Hu directly handles the Ona'a department. There is no, there's no side office. There's no, it's not outsourced. Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with that himself. Amar Rabbi Abba Gimel Ein Apargu Nin Abif Nehem. So when it comes to three people, so there's no parga, there's no curtain. Again, just a way for us to conceptualize, to understand that there exists some separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but regarding three people, there's no separation. Three people committing the following Avera, and that is Onah, Gezal, Avodah Zarah. So these three Averos, direct line between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't want this kind of direct line, meaning this is obviously not a direct connection you want. Onah, Dechziv, Vyadcha, Anach. So we already quoted the Pasuk in Amos that speaks to this idea that plumb line, there's a direct connection between the person who commits Onah, Gezal, Dechziv, Chamas, Veshod, Yishama, Ba, Al Panai Tamid. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu describing that when a person is involved in thievery and shochad and bribery, so it's directly facing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, Avodah Zarah Dichsiv Ha'am Hamachisim Osi Al Panai Tamid. The nation that angers me, anger coming via Avodah Zarah, by worshiping other gods. So that is Al Panai Tamid, again directly facing me. So a person should be very careful having wheat in his house at all times. The Gemara over here, I guess you can understand it a little more metaphorically, but let's understand the Gemara Kipshuto. You need food in your house. There has to be food in your house at all times. Fighting occurs in the house because there's simply a lack of food. So in other words, money doesn't solve all problems, but having food in the house, however, does take away a lot of the fighting. Shenamar hasam gvolech shalom chelev chitim yasbi eich. Okay, I like when the Gemara quotes Pesukim that I know. So it makes it easier. So I should be knowing all the Pesukim. But anyway. So, but the Pasuk in Tehillim, at the end of Tehillim, we say it every morning in Pesukim de Zimra. So it says that if you have wheat in your house, so you're going to have shalom, you're going to have peace. And there's a direct correlation between simply having food in your house and not having fighting. Amar Papa Haina Dami Inshi, Kimishalom Sare, Michta Nakish. So Ve'asa Tigra Bevesa. So when the barley is finished in the house, and basically you hear the rattling of the pots, so you know that fighting is going to ensue in the house because for a lack of food. Again, a similar related statement is that a person should be careful to have grain in his house, because real poverty is described by somebody who doesn't have grain. There's a direct connection between poverty and not having barley in your house and any type of grain in your house. So a person should be careful about the honor of his wife. The bracha that comes in your house is coming as a result of your wife. You mechabed your wife, you honor your wife, so you're going to have bracha in your house. And we just saw last week's parsha, two parshiyos ago, so that Avraham was blessed on account of Sarah. So he says that you have to give yikar, you have to give honor to your wives in order so that you become wealthy. So a lot of secrets today in terms of how to prevent fighting, how to increase bracha in your house. A lot of advice given to us by the Gemara today. We are now in the last line of Nitesamet Aleph. I dare say this is one of the more famous stories that is found in the Gemara. And you will see why the Gemara is bringing in this particular Maisa at this juncture in the Gemara. But we see in the fourth paragraph. It will become obvious, but only later into the story. Tanan Haslam, we start by quoting a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim reads, Chatchu chulias v'nasan chol ben chulia l'chulia. So we're talking about a type of oven. Back in the good old days, so ovens were basically boxes made out of earthenware that were plastered together and then heated up in an oven. And so, meaning the oven itself, the apparatus itself, was heated up in an oven, and hence you had an oven. Over here, what we're describing is a oven that is pieced together. If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Chatchu chulios. So it's like earthenware, says Rashi. However, unlike a quote-unquote a classical oven, a regular oven, where basically it was an entire piece of earthenware that was that was heated up all together. So this was heated up in pieces, and the pieces were pieced together by placing sand between the pieces. So here now, is this oven a kli that's going to be mekabel tumah? So what's it going to be? What is the question going to revolve around? So in just a moment, I'm going to explain. So Rebbe Elazar Mitarev Chachamim Matamim. So a machlokis amongst the Tanayim, whether or not this particular oven is subject to Tumah or not subject to Tumah. So Rebbe Elazar takes a makel position. He says that the oven is not subject to Tumah, while the Chachamim disagree. What is behind Shitas Rav Elazar? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Rav Elazar Matar Shein Zeh Kli Cheres. So Rashi says that Rav Elazar believes that this is not considered a Kli Cheres. Ela, Binyan Ke'en Kli Galalim U'Kli Adama Shein Mekablan Tuma. This is an extraordinarily organic utensil, meaning that because the pieces themselves were Kli Cheres, but because they were glued together by earth, so basically, it's kli adama kli galalim. If you have a kli that is really organic, I mean that in the most literal sense, right? Made out of the dung of an animal, made out of dirt, so mud. So those are kalim that are not mekabel toma, and so therefore the Rav Elazar is of the opinion that this oven as well is simply akin to clay galalim, clay adaman, therefore not mekabel toma. The Chachamim disagree. Next Rashi, the Azla Basar Chulios, Shar Tanur Shalahem Hayu Asum Kein Kederos Gedolos, Upiv Lamalavitzar Bekifshan Kishar Kederos Metatlin, Ela Shayem Oshiva Ala Aritzav Ala Dav, Unmad Bekas Atfilas Atitzaviv Al Kulol Asoso Av, Shiklo Vyachzik Eschomo. So Rashi gives us a general sense of how ovens are generally made, but basically, Rashi says, yeah, I know the oven is pieced together by dirt, but don't look at the dirt, look at the pieces. The pieces themselves are earthenware, so fundamentally the kli is a kli cheres, and therefore subject to tumah. Okay, so a machlokis hatanayim, whether or not such an oven is or is not mekabel tumah. So, that is a mishnah in Caleb. And now the Gemara goes on to discuss. We're now on the top of the Testament base. Vizel Tana Shachnai, and this is called the snake oven. Right. In other words, the Rashi describes the word achnai is nachash. So so what does the snake do? The snake curls up, and basically, if it's especially if it's like a rattlesnake, so basically it surrounds you and it crushes you. So so this is the snake oven. Now my achnai, the Gemara says, what does that have to do with this oven in particular? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, shekifu dvarim kachna zu vitim ahu. What happens was that the Chachamim basically encircled Rav Elazar. It's an imagery, it's a metaphor. The Chachamim encircled Rav Elazar, and basically, blow after blow, argument after argument, the Chachamim finally overpowered the opinion of Rav Elazar, and they said that the oven is in fact tameh, it's mekabel tumah. So, we're going to see more details regarding this incident. So there was a major debate between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, meaning the Mishnah is only giving us the conclusion of their opinions. But we don't know the masa matan, we don't know the give and take. So basically what the Bryce over here is doing is illustrating to us that there was a back and forth on this issue. Rav Elazar is giving every argument in the world. The Chachamim didn't accept the arguments of Rav Elazar. So Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, if I could be just a little more accurate. So Rabbi Eliezer starts now not only making arguments, but proving his point based on things that to us would seem miraculous. So he says, take a look at that charuv. Take a look at the boxer tree. So neker charuv mimkomo mea ama. Ramila arbe mea osama. So the boxer tree uprooted itself and moved 100 amas, or some say 400 amas, indicating that mina shamayim, he got a haskama. So Amrlo ein mivin rayim in a charuv. So they said, okay, that's wonderful. Very, very happy that nature was able to yield towards you. But that's not going to affect the halacha. Chazav Amrlo im halacha kamosi amas amayim yochichu. He says, what about the canal? Chazav amas amayim lacharehim. And so now the canal, normally flowing in one direction, starts flowing in the opposite direction. Obviously unnatural. But again, a haskama min hashamayim that Rabbi Eliezer was right. Amrlo ein mivin raya me'amas amayim. So again, they're not impressed Okay, that's, you know, and when I say not impressed, I'm sure they were very impressed, but it's not going to change the halacha. So he says, well, if I'm right, watch the walls of the Beis Medrash. Heat to kosley Beis Medrash lipol. So the walls of the Beis Medrash start falling down and collapsing as a result of Rabbi Eliezer. As again, a haskama min hashamayim that Rabbi Eliezer is right. Gar bahem Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua rebukes them. Who's the them over here? The walls, meaning Rabbi Yoshua looks at the walls and gives them rebuke. So Rabbi Yoshua basically says to the walls, right, stay out of this. This is not your business. Okay, Talmidei Chachamim are fighting. It's important. It's critical. But you should not get involved. Lo nafal mibnei kvodo shel Rabbi Yoshua. So the walls didn't fall out of respect for Rabbi Yoshua. On the other hand, lo zakfu mibnei kvodo shel Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, the walls didn't come back upright out of respect for Rabbi Eliezer. Va'adayin matin ve'omdin. So the walls now are in a perpetual state of being tilted. So finally Rabbi Eliezer says, you want a haskama, meaning obviously everything that was done up until now is the clear haskama min hashamayim. Okay, but you want a clear haskama, so he now petitions HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him haskana. Yatza baskal ve'amar. So out comes the baskal, and the baskal says, Malachem Eitzo Rabbi Eliezer Shalach Kamoso Bechomakom. So the Baskol says, what are you doing arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha falls like that, like him, Bechomakom, in any place. Amad Rabbi Yoshua Abraglav Amar. So Rabbi Yoshua stands up and he says, Lo Bashamayim He. This is not up to Shamayim to decide. So in other words, this is Torah. We have the Torah. We're going to make the decisions regarding what the halacha is. Again, a very basic fundamental Gemara in terms of the process of halacha and in terms of the determination of who the halacha is going to follow. So, my lo b'shamayim hi. So, the Gemara now wants clarification. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu shekvar nitna Torah mehar Sinai. Ein anu mashkichim bevaskol shekvar kasafta bar Sinai b'Torah acharei rabim lahatos. The Gemara spells it out. The Gemara says that once we were given the Torah at Har Sinai, so now there's a process. And the process is acharei rabim lahatos. So we follow the majority position. So when you have a basin, when you have a Sanhedrin deciding the halacha, so, and there's an issue in terms of who the halacha is to follow, we have a process. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not get a vote. So it is up to us, and it's our decision. And even when the Baskel comes out, the Baskel is not to be listened to. It is up to us to decide. We'll get to that. That's coming.
It was a
Bethel
that declared that
Beit Hillel prevailed. Okay, good. So that's excellent. So Ben wants to know what about another Baskel in the Gemara. So second Tosfos on the Amud discusses. Second Tosfos asks, V'had Amar Berkamad Yevamos. So if you look in the beginning of Yevamos, Halacha Kebeis Hillel Mishum Diatza Baskel. So over there, the Gemara says that when you have debate between Beisham and Beis Hillel, who does Halacha follow like? So the Gemara over there says that Beis Hillel is going to be the accepted Halacha, and the Baskel gives a Haskama, gives an approbation to the opinion of Beis Hillel. So Tosfos is bothered now with a very basic stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Yevamos. Our Gemara seems to indicate that Baskol is not regarded bichlal. The Gemara in Yevamos says no, Baskol is listened to. So that presents an obvious problem. So Tosfos gives a couple of ways to resolve this. Tosfos says, Shani hacha shabalach lo kal divrei tori dichsiv achri rab lahatos. Ava hasam adraba Beis Hillel ruba ilav da ave mesaf kalan iazlin basa ruba mishum de beisham have a harifa tuva. So one suggestion says Tosos. Over here and over there, what is the Baskel doing? So over here, the Baskel is going against the majority. That is again going against the Pasuk in the Torah. So you can ask the question, what's the purpose of the Baskel over here? And that's a legitimate question. And in a moment, we're going to answer that. But it's the Baskel over here is not going to be regarded because it's going after the Rabbim. And the Torah says, Acharei Rabbim Lahatos. Masha'en came Beisol, Beishame, Beisol was the majority. So when we say the Halach is like Beisol, it's not because of the Baskel. It's because of the rule of Acharei Rabbim Lahatos. So why was there a Baskel over there? So Tosfos says, because you might have thought that, yes, Beisol is the majority, but Beishame is more Charif, the sharper. And therefore, I might have thought that would trump the majority of the of Beis Hillel. So the Baskel is there to reinforce that. No, follow the rule of Acharei Rabbim Lahatos. That's one, says Tosfos. Two, the Ode. Kan lo yatza Baskel el mishum kvodo de Rav Elazar. Shamer min hashamayim yochichu. Another suggestion, says Tosfos, is look, Over here, the Basco wasn't meant to actually tell us what the halacha was. It's just there to protect the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. Mashi Enkin over there, the Basco was there to determine the halacha. So, okay. So a couple of suggestions. Let's go on. Tosas v'hadamar hasam Rabbi Yeshua. He da'amar he mashkichim bevaskos v'lo shamina leila Rabbi Yeshua. Ela abaskol da'hai ma'isa da'rev laza da'acha. Hasam da'ik medikamar lo b'shamayim. He kvar nitna lana Torah. Misina mashma de b'shumakum in mashkichim. And over there, it sounds like from the Gemara over there that Rabbi Yeshua unilaterally simply will disregard abaskol, neither here nor there. So in other words, they're really... Really, the third approach of Tosfos is that Baskol really is never to be minded, and it's just a simple, consistent position of not regarding the Baskol. So, a number of ways that Tosfos deals with the fact that of the discrepancy between the two. Back to the Gemara. Right in the middle of Nintesimid Beis. Okay, so. You have an unbelievable story regarding Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and basically a rejection of the Baskol, and Lo Bashamaimi, and Acharei Rabbim Lahatos. And what do you think Kadosh Baruch Hu's response was? And the Gemara asks Eliyahu Hanavi to give us a little insight. So Amar Lei Kachayich V'Amar Nitzchuni Banai Nitzchuni Banai. Kadosh Baruch Hu's response was that my children have now, the simplest way to understand the Gemara is that they beat me, meaning they won, meaning they're right, meaning that they have the Torah and they're the ones who make the decision in terms of who the halacha follows like. So I heard another pshat, forgive me, I do not know who said it, but I heard another pshat, and that is nitzchuni meaning netzach, meaning that the that this is the way that Torah is going to perpetuate forever, meaning by deciding the halacha based on the majority and not succumbing to a baskol, so that it provides nitzchios, that provides eternality to the Torah. Amr also yamayivu kol Torah shetir Rav Elazar v'sar from Beish. The Gemara gives us an epilogue to the story, and that is that day any kalim that Rav Elazar was metahir, so they came to a very clear resolution that it's not Torah, it's Tameh, and they burnt them on fire. So v'nimnu alav. And then on top of that, there also was a vote. Ubarchuhu. And they, barchu over here is Lashon Saginahor. It's a euphemism. In other words, that they basically put Rabbi Lazar in a cherem. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't use the words, and it is a fair, it's a fair observation that the Gemara doesn't expressly use those words, but yes. In other words, it's very clear from the context, again, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, that Rav Elazar was holding his position even after he was outvoted. So, v'amru mi'elech v'yodiyu. So now they have to put Rabbi Eliezer in Cherem, and who's going to inform him? Who's going to indicate so? So Amalam Rabbi Kiva Ani Alech Shem Yelech Adam Sheino Hagom V'Yodiv Nimsa Machriv Is Kol Olam Kula. So Rabbi Kiva takes the responsibility of informing Rabbi Eliezer that he's put in Cherem, and he says, "Look, if somebody else would do it, so the world is going to be destroyed." Meaning Rabbi Eliezer's reaction. In other words, clearly Rabbi Eliezer had a very direct connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You saw what he did previously. If somebody tells him and he doesn't know what he's doing, so it could destroy the whole world. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll tell him. Ma'as Rabbi Akiva, so what did Rabbi Akiva do to tell Rabbi Eliezer that he was placed in Cherem? Love v'shchorim v'nisatev shchorim. So he put on black clothing, v'yashal v'fana b'rachuk arba amos. And he set Rabbi Eliezer at a distance of 4 amos. When somebody is in Cherem, you cannot be within 4 amos of that person. The Gemara in Moed Katan discusses the details of what happens when a person is in Cherem. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer Akiva ma yom mi yomayim. Why? Right, basically, man shana hayom hazeh mikol hayamim. How is this day any different? So Amar lo Rabbi kemedum li shechaverim bedelim mimecha. So Rabbi Akiva says, it would seem to me, he's saying it as carefully worded as he possibly could, it would seem to me that your colleagues are separated from you. Afhu kara bigadav, and even he, meaning Rabbi Eliezer, now understood that he was placed in Cherem, and he did kriya. Afhu kara bigadav v'chalas menalav, and he took off his shoes v'nishmat v'yashav al gabi karka, and he got off the chair and he sat on the ground. Zalguin of Damos, he started crying. Laka ha'olam, and as a result of his crime, the world was affected and affected poorly. Shlish b'zeisim, shlish b'chitim, shlish b'saorim. A third of the of the olives and the wheat and the barley of the world. All was smitten. All was destroyed as a result of his crying. And even dough that was being held by a woman, meaning that the dough was doing great and she was working the dough in, and even that fell apart as a result of the crying of Rabbi Eliezer. Tana. Ach gadol, we have two gear cells, either ach or af, but either way works. Ach gadol haya ba'oso hayam shebechomakum shenasam bo'enav, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer Nisraf. Anywhere the Rabbi Eliezer looked, so it got burnt. In other words, again, to the best of our understanding, the torment that he went through and the connection that he had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there was a chareva, there was a real destruction to the world. The Avraham ben Gamliel haya ba'besvina. Amad alav nachshol tavo. Rabbi Gamliel at the time was traveling on the boat, and this big wave came to basically turn Rabbi Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Gamliel at the time, he was the Abezdin, meaning Rabban. He was a Nasi. He was the, probably more accurately, he was a Nasi. But in other words, he was a leader at the time. So the so putting Rabbi Eliezer in Cherem obviously was a major decision, obviously. It was a major decision, and one can understand that. Even though Rabbi Eliezer wanted nothing, no harm to be done to Rabbi Gamliel, but again, an understanding that Rabbi Gamliel was a leader at the time. It was under his leadership.
Was that
Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Right. Okay. Anyway, so Nachshol Latavo. V'yadu lefanecha shelo lechvodi asisa v'lo lechvod beis abba asisa ela lechvodcha. And Rabbi Gamliel now petitions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I didn't do this for my honor, I didn't do this for the honor of my father, I did it for your honor. Shelo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael. So, and you know, we only put him in Cherem because we don't want machlokes. And so Rabbi Eliezer was taking a position against the majority position, and we want to minimize machlokas, and so therefore, Rabbi Gamliel is basically petitioning Kadosh Baruch Hu, I had to do it, and I want less machlokas. Nach hayam mi za'afo, and so the sea subsided. Ima Shalom divasar de Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar had a wife by the name of Ima Shalom. So not strange to have a woman's name Ima and to have a man's name Abba. Meaning those were names back then, and to this very day, there are Abbas. So Ima Shalom divasar de Rav Elazar. So Achte de Rav Gamliel. So the Gemara over here, it almost turns into like a drama, where the wife of Rabbi Eliezer was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, right? Other Gemaras that also speak about like this, you know, this very close, tight relationship between two adversaries. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer were brother-in-laws.
You had
Rabbi Shlach and Rabbi Yochanan. You had Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach and what's his name? It was the king.
Yana.
Right, Yana the king. Okay, so you had others. So very good. So anyway, so the wife of Rabbi Lazar, who was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Also again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar were brother-in-laws. So Ahave, me'ahu ma'isa ve'elach lo ha'veshafke lei le'Rabbi Eliezer le'mepal al ape. So she prevented her husband from saying Tachanun. Again, the understanding is that if after Hishmon Esri he would say Tachanun, and in the Tachanun he would add supplication to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu would act on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer and harm Rabbi Gamliel. So in order to save her brother, she prevented her husband from saying Tachanun. Now, we don't know the secrets of what she did to prevent him from saying Tachanun. You know, just, you know, I can't imagine. I can imagine, but I can't imagine exactly what she did in order to prevent him from doing so. But for us, let's just simply say she stopped him from saying Tachanun, except for one day. How Yom HaRosh Yarchahave. So one day was Rosh Chodesh. However, she got a little bit confused. V'ichlef la be'male l'chaser. Now, we don't need to get confused because we look at the calendar and we know when Rosh Chodesh is coming. But in the good old days, the Rosh Chodesh was decided and determined by Beis Din. And so she got a little bit confused. She didn't know whether it was a male or was a chaser. So, Iga da'amre asa aniya v'kaya bava. Afikale Rifta. So, or another version of the story is that it had nothing to do with her confusion about which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, by the way, I should have mentioned this. Meaning, on the Rosh Chodesh, we don't say Tachanun. On the non-Rosh Chodesh day, we do say Tachanun. So, she thought it was a day that she didn't have to prevent her husband from saying Tachanun, and meanwhile, it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Or, a second version of the story is that there was a poor person who came to the door, and so she was preoccupied giving bread to the poor, and so she could not prevent her husband from saying Tachanun. Ashkechase danafal al anpei. And so, basically, either version of the story, now he had an opportunity to say Tachanun. Amalei kum katilta lachi. When she came back and she sees her husband now finishing Tachanun, so immediately she knew that this was going to be devastating to her brother. And she yells at her husband. She says, get up, you're killing my brother. So, adahachi nafik shipura mi beis ram gamliel deshachiv. And a shofar blast was blown, indicating that Rabbi Gamaliel was died. It was too late.
If he was in Kera, right, he couldn't have done with the minion. So how could he eat Nefila by himself?
So, a lot to discuss over here, but it could very well be that one question answers the other question, meaning it's exactly because he was in Kherim that he was davening home, and that's why she was able to stop him.
I'm saying if somebody's doing
They'll say Tachanun. They won't put their head down, but they'll say Tachanun. Okay. Anyway, so the Amar Le Manayada. So he says to her, "How do you know?" Meaning, how did you know that my Tachanun would result in that Amar Le Kachmu Kulman Mi Beis Avi Avi Kola Sharinu Nal Chutz Mi Shari Ona. And now it took us to get to all the way at the end of the story, but now you understand. Now you understand why the story of Rabbi Elazar was placed specifically here in the fourth parak of Bamitzia, because she knew, she had a tradition, that when a person is ma'ana, when a person verbally assaults another person, so you know that that a Kadosh Baruch Hu deals directly. And the response is quick and harsh, and it's midas adin. And so, now, the truth of the matter is that we don't know exactly what the ona was, meaning that when all said and done, meaning Rabbi Gamliel, as he himself said, while almost being drowned in the ocean, right? I did this for your honor. So in other words, it's not...
Humiliated.
Yeah, right.
That's
correct. In other words, I go back to the beginning of this morning, meaning we know that the basic definition of ona is when there's intent to verbally assault or abuse another person. Over here, you can make the argument that it was unintentional. Either way, the point is that there was a hurt feeling that was done from Rabbi Gamliel towards Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer was given the opportunity to say Tachanun, and that is it, and that was it. Okay, we'll stop over here. I know there's just a little bit more before we get to the Mishnah. Okay, tomorrow, we'll finish off that last bit, and tomorrow is the conclusion of the fourth parak of Bamitzia. We start Ezru Neshech Mirza Hashem tomorrow.